It's a new year. Some of you make New Year's resolutions. Some of you make promises. You clean out your house. You dump out a bunch of junk so you can come over here and take the rest of this back home with you. And all you teenagers and children, y'all need to make sure you take some of that home with you when you go today. We do all of these things as we turn over a new year because there's something in a new year. It's a four-letter word. It's the word hope. Hope. Hope for a change. Now, you look back on 2012. Banner year for you? Or was it a bust? Or how are you keeping score? Maybe that's a better question as to whether or not it was banner or bust. You can't redo it. It's gone. We're now living today. Today, 2013. This passage that I want to share with you today, I believe, speaks to us today. Over the next several weeks, Lord's going to be unveiling a number of things. So I encourage you to stay tuned with us. There are things the Lord is speaking to us and getting us ready for all that is to come, preparing us. Like Bill Hymer said, destined for the throne. You know, He's preparing us to reign with Him forever. And that doesn't start after you die. It starts now to reign with Him, to live with Him, to live life to its fullest. So, here goes. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do it so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's join Peter in this prayer. Lord, now, we ask You today that You would wipe away the cobwebs, the confusion of the world. Lord, the very dichotomous nature of the world system, so that we can singularly focus on You right now. May we hear Your voice clearly and plainly. Lord, You speak to us. Thank You. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, Yeshua, the Son of God, the Messiah, we pray. Amen. Do you believe the end of all things is near? Peter was saying that in the first century. So that's how he was living. The end of all things is near. And in fact, that's how we're called in every generation to live. That's right. Like the end is near. Because if you know the end is near, you will be ready. You will be serious. You'll make it count. Remember, I heard Dr. Roy McLean preach a sermon years ago that had a tremendous influence on my life. And the title of the sermon was, What If Today Were My Last Day? What would I do? What would you do? What would you do with every day of this year? And we're already, what's the date of today? January the 6th. Two birthdays today. Already 6 days into the 365. Not a leap year, is it? 365 this year. Already that many days. What are you going to do with this year? God is giving it to you as a gift. How many people do you know who aren't getting this gift? Who died this past year? People in your family? People close to you? People at your work? But God, in His sovereignty and His wisdom, He's decided to give you this gift. This gift of life, this gift of every day and making it count. So when we say the end of all things is near, we do believe that. And wow, do we ever believe that, because we can look at the prophecies, we can look at Israel, we can look at what's going on in the world, we can look at the powder keg. And I know during the Advent season, you know, it is easy to put your mind on a lot of other things that were filled with a lot of other things. But while we were thinking about that, the world kept going on. The world kept moving on, and all of those things that are happening around the world right now, not as a source of worry for the Christian. You see, and this is where I kind of, over the holidays, I kind of had an epiphany, a revelation, where the Lord showed me something, because I was really getting conflicted. Because on the one hand, I see all the stuff going on in the world. I see all the things there that I can't deny, that I look at and I read the book here and I see it happening, and I see it all happening around me. And I see God's judgment happening. Actually, I see God's judgment happening in our country. And I'm on that side with that. And it's easy then, you know, you get the bunker in mentality. You get the, batten down the hatches kind of thing, and to draw in and all that. But on the other side, because you see, there's a both end to this. There's never been a time in the history of mankind, never since the creation, of a greater opportunity to be God's people than it is right now. Do you believe that? You believe that? That in His infinite sovereignty from eternity past, that He had already determined. You think of that. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, from eternity past, that He was already thinking about this time, right now, that you would be living here. It's a message I've preached to you before. They chose you to live at this time. And He's placed in your hands a great opportunity. A great privilege to live. Not to whine and complain about how things are, but to let those things be a motivator for what is best for all that He wants to do in the earth. Because it has always been in those times, in those tough times, when people will listen, will tilt their ear toward heaven, and some at least will hear the voice of God, and they'll turn to Him. Now look around you. How many people are here right now because of what happened through you in 2012? Look around you. That's a motivator for me. Because I then look at that and I say, well, God, You obviously want to do more through me than you did in 2012. Because the greatest gift we have to give someone else is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift you can give to anybody. Amen? Who gave you that gift? In 2013, are you going to give it away? And see, the thing about it is, every time you try to give it all away, what does he do? He just fills it up that much more. He gives you that many more opportunities when you give yourself away. Is another person worth investing in? Is another family worth investing in? Where's most of Savannah today? On their way to an eternal, everlasting separation from God called hell. That's where Savannah is. You believe that or not? You live in some Pollyanna world somewhere where you can rationalize and say, oh, you know, they're good people. No, it's not based on goodness, is it? What is it based on? What have you done with Jesus? Now, my responsibility is never to decide for them. That's not my pay grade. That's not your pay grade. But what is our pay grade is to make sure they get the opportunity to deal with Jesus. Through our lives, through what we do, through what we say, through how we live, through how we spend our lives, through how we invest our lives. That's a better way of looking. How are we going to invest? How are we going to invest 2013? How's it going to be? Opportunity. The phrase the Lord kept putting on my heart over the past 2 weeks is a phrase, fully employed. What happens? You're at a job. You're working 40 hours a week plus all the overtime you want to work. You know? And maybe you're at one of those jobs where your boss will let you just do it when it's convenient to you. And you're doing that. And then suddenly, you'd say, in that situation, you'd say, I am fully employed. Right? Our government uses terminology like this when they're determining ratios for unemployment. But what if your boss comes in and says, hey, no more overtime, and by the way, we're knocking you back to 29 hours. Would you like that? But you know something worse than that? There's something worse than that. What if it was flipped and your boss was giving you the opportunity to work 40 hours and all the overtime you want, and Lord knows your family needed it, and you said, no, I think 29 is enough for me. And you have family members that are going hungry. What do you think of that? What I'm presenting to you today is the idea that the Sycamore Church in 2013 has got to become fully employed in the kingdom. You may think the job you have is so you can make money. Praise God for the money that you make. But that job is God's funding of your ministry on this earth if you belong to Him. As He uses all of us, where we are, to do His bidding, to be His people. I probably need to ask forgiveness. I was talking to a guy, I do need to ask forgiveness. because I was in the middle of this conversation, having this great conversation with him about the Lord. And he looks at me, says, he comes up to me in the bookstore and just starts pouring out his heart to me there in the bookstore. It's one of those divine appointment kind of things. And it's right before Christmas. And after about 20, 25 minutes of the conversation, Audrey, she's already left and gone to another store. She kind of waved to me and said, well, you know, every trip to Walmart ain't to get stuff, you know, kind of thing. And he said, you're not a preacher, are you? And I said, and I just went on and I tried not to answer his question because I knew what was about to happen. Because as soon as he found out I was a preacher, you know what was going to happen to that conversation? Right out the window. It's hard for me to hide in Savannah. It's really hard. But that's why God has all of us. There's so many people. And I use this by way of illustration, that you have an opportunity with that I will never get the opportunity. Never. But you see, you already have those opportunities right now. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. We're praying. We're going to pray every Thursday, 11 to 1, until the Lord tells us not to do that. We invite you to come here and pray. We invite you, email in. I sit back at that computer and try to loop the music, the quiet music, so we can pray in here. And I check to see who's checking in and saying, I'm praying. I didn't send you those 24 emails that I sent you about prayer because I just thought it might be a good thing to do. I sent them to you because God told me to send them to you so we could join together in prayer. It's not just about coming here. It's about joining at a time, at a season, at a set apart time. God said, set that time apart. It could be while you're working. Lord knows, you use that phone to do everything under the sun. And if there's no way you can use that phone and say, hey, I pray. What's our address, John? TheSycamoreChurch.com. Or what's our Gmail address? SycamoreChurch@gmail.com. Send it to us. Let us know you're praying. The most I've heard from both present and those who have emailed in is 13. That's the most. I'm asking you to do that. That's a simple thing to do. You say, we want tangible things. Here's a tangible thing. If you believe in prayer, the Scripture says, do these things so you can pray. I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you to intercede. I'm asking you to pray about all these people who need Jesus. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sin. You believe that for us as a body? In your family, has love covered you? Are you covered with His love today? This is a call to us to love unconditionally. Love the people in our lives. Love them through the pain, in spite of how they act. And through our love, we will get the opportunity to speak the gospel to them. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. not complaining about what. Just do it. As God prompts you, just do it. Don't lose your blessing when the Lord prompts you to do something and then complain about it. It's kind of like fasting and then telling everybody about it. You lost the blessing from that. Because that's supposed to be something that is personal. Deep within. Now, down to the nitty-gritty here. As each one of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Who are you in Christ? What gifts and graces has the Lord given to you? And are they employed in His work today? Are they? Or have you settled? Have you settled for less than what God would want for you? Why not say, Lord, here's me. Here's all my gifts and graces. I thought about this over the past several weeks. I look around in our congregation and I see creativity. I see people who have been blessed with gifts, with abilities to do things. And I ask God, and I said, Lord, are we fully employed in the kingdom? And He said, no. It's time to be all in. It's time to practice Hebrews 10:25 to begin with. You know what that says? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You say, oh, my presence doesn't mean anything. No, not if people don't mean anything to you. Pam, how many people you think you talk to since you've been here this morning? 30 or 40? What if Pam had not been here? Do you think she blessed anybody during that time? Let me ask you again. Do you think she blessed anybody during that time? I'm embarrassing her a lot right now. Of course she did. Do you bless people by your presence? Yes, you do. You say, well, what can I do? That's something you can do. Coming together, just like I'm asking you on Thursdays to come together in prayer, wherever you are, cyber prayer, because the Lord sees it all. We physically gather. We gather publicly and house to house. We gather in our life groups. I'm encouraging, and we're going to be sharing some things about that over the next several weeks. But I'm encouraging you to gather, to be here, to show up. We need you. The Lord needs you. There are things left undone. That's right. Fully employed, all in. What does He say? As each one has received. Have you received from the Lord? What blessings have you received? Are you giving them back? Because you know what God's math is. I've always spoken of it. I get a jar this big of blessing. He gives it to me so I can give it away. And you know what happens to that jar the next time? It's full of overflowing, and I got to get a bigger jar. Because I'm on God's economy. Now listen to me. This is not a zero-sum game. You know what a zero-sum game is? Zero-sum means that you can zero it out. This is all we've got. You measure all the people, this is all the blessing we've got. But you know who you cut out when you make it a zero-sum game? Who gets cut out? Because what does he do? He keeps pouring it out. Regina said it earlier. She said, what was that thing you said about bowls? Stand up and say it. Stand up and say it, Regina. I'm embarrassing everybody today. What does that mean, tipping the bowls? Great theologian. You're seminary educated, aren't you? Okay. Give it to us. You believe that? I believe that. We're sitting around crying in our Pepsi Cola. Because I wouldn't cry in a Coke. And to that you say, nice save, Dusty. The Lord is upon me, I'm telling you, right now. He's speaking. You got to listen. We can sit around and crying about it and whining. Oh, the economy is this and all. Is God victimized by our economy? Answer, no. He's God. He is Lord. I'm looking at some people that I know God blessed you financially in 2012. I know He did. You know how I know that? Because you told me He did. What a blessing. God has blessed you with family. He has blessed you with friends. He has blessed you with this church family. Now what are we going to do about it? This city needs this church. It's time to get off our blessed assurance. That's what you sit on. For those of you who are in the dark about that. It's time to get off it. Quit being a spectator and get in the game. I was watching a bowl game. It wasn't a bowl game. It was Minnesota and Green Bay, NFL, last night. 19 degrees, little breeze blowing there in Wisconsin. And I looked at those guys out on the field. They were behemoths. You know what that means? What was it? What does it mean? Hey, we got the guy with the artifacts in the back here. They're big. They're big. I'm looking over there. Yeah, they're bona fide. I look over there, and their arms are about the size of my thigh. I'm looking at them out on the field. It's 19 degrees, the wind's blowing, and they don't have on long sleeves. And they're out there. They're not cold. They're thinking about one thing. These were defensive guys I've seen. They were thinking about, I'm going to kill that quarterback. Just let me at him. I want to kill him. Because all defensive guys hate quarterbacks. They have to. It's part of the religion. And they looked at the guys on the bench, the ones who were sitting on the bench. One guy had taken off his helmet, and he was sweating. And the heat was, you could see the smoke coming off of his body. It's 19 degrees. He's not, my point is, they're not bothered by the weather. They're not distracted by the circumstances. They're not taken over by the junk that is around them. Their mind is on one thing, and it's that football game. It's time for us to become singular people who are all in for the kingdom. So that our job becomes the vehicle for the manifold grace of God. If the one speaks, let him speak as unto the Lord. If he serves, let him do it as unto the Lord. And let it be as the Lord supply. Can you save enough money to hedge against any future problem that comes up? Anybody stupid enough to say yes on that? If you say yes on that, you just need to go to some of the Banana Republic opportunities over, particularly in South America and Central America, where overnight, you know, their money became worthless. I'm saying we've got to live by faith that God will provide for us. And today, he is providing an opportunity. Nobody can reach the people in your life that God has designated are part of your authority except you. Until God gives them to somebody else, they belong to you. Their responsibility belongs to you. I'm calling on you today. I'm calling on you today to begin to think differently. To begin to think in heavenly terms while you're still on earth. Now, I'm not talking about thinking so heavenly that you have no earthly good. No. I'm talking about thinking heavenly so that you are maximized here on earth. I'm talking about thinking and praying as God will direct you. It'd almost be like going to the racetrack and the Lord showing you which horses to bet on. Now, don't do that. Don't do that. Because he won't do that. But he will direct you in how to live your life this year. Fully employed. The gifts he's given you, to use them for the kingdom of God. Where you are, maximize. The money he's given you for the kingdom of God. I pray for you and your businesses. I do. I pray that God, don't know Matthew, I pray that he will multiply business. That he'll bless you in that way. What are you going to do? It's time. It's time. You say, well, I've blown so many opportunities. How many opportunities did Moses blow? How late was it in the game when he decided he would serve God? How about Paul? Part of the intelligentsia, part of the religious system. Oh man, Paul had it all, but God got him right where he wanted him. How about Peter? Three times Peter denies Jesus. Jesus is there with his arms wide open. Hey, if we want to use an example of somebody that was kind of late coming to the game, how about Jesus himself? He was 30 years old, and in that day, he was middle-aged and in fact, in some ways, past middle age. 30 years old. And things began. It's time to quit listening to the lies of the devil about your life. It's time to embrace what God has put in your hands and in your heart and let Jesus be Lord through you. I don't believe we can even begin to embrace what that might look like through us and what a blessing we could be in this city, in our family, in our friends. While there are people you've written off, you say, oh, they're too far gone for God. Tell that to Peter. Tell that to Paul. Tell that to Moses. Tell that to fill in the blank. Were any of you too far gone? Did people already write you off? Of course they did. But God had a better plan for you. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. You're not too old and you're not too young. You're sitting around thinking, well, that's for somebody else. No, it's somebody you. He's calling on you. Now, what are you going to do? I have to apologize to you as your pastor. Ask your forgiveness. Because I've not, in 2012, thrown out to you and challenged you with the vision regular enough. I've been derelict in my duty as a shepherd. Go on and read the next chapter of 1 Peter and you'll see the parts about the shepherd there. But I've recommitted my life to Him. As a vision carrier, as a shepherd of the flock to put it out there for you. As plainly as I know how. All in. All in. How about it? Over the next several weeks, I'm going to be giving you some nuts and bolts of what all in means, what fully employed means. But the Lord has spoken to you today. How many people has God spoken to today? Would you put your hand up? Yeah. Yeah, I got two up. Because like in that old story, you know, the guy's sitting over there, he's listening to what's going on, this interchange between these two guys. And he said, well, what's happening? Oh, he said, man, he is busting your chops. And that's what I'd have to say that the Lord has done for me. He's been busting my chops. Humble yourselves before God that He may exalt you in due time. He wants us to soar like the eagle. Let's pray. As we come to the time of prayer, I just want to challenge you, if you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, today is the day. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, today is the day. Come to Him. I'm going to open the altar if you want to come and pray, seek His face. He's spoken to you today. Maybe you can't even put words on it. You just know that He's speaking to you. Maybe you want to come, grab someone else and come and pray. This is your opportunity.
Lord, I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you that you speak to us. I thank you for your plan for our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you're Lord over all. And I thank you for this body. Lord, I thank you for the people in this body that you have used that have been the hands and feet of Jesus, the mouthpiece, the ears of the Christ in my life. And I pray your blessing upon them because of their faithfulness. Faithfulness to serve you. Lord, I'm asking you today to call us to the higher calling. Call us, Lord, today. May we hear your voice clearly and plainly. Lord, may we be obedient as we serve you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of serving you in these days. Privilege of being part of your plan that you chose us in eternity past for today. Lord, I'm asking you that we as a body will embrace what you're doing through us. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Daniel's not here to take the first step for you today. But the altar is open.
Let your oil pour down like water. Let it rain over me. Let it rain on this dry and thirsty servant. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let your oil pour down like water. Let it rain over me. Let it rain on this dry and thirsty servant. Let it rain. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in me. Let your presence consume my soul. Let the power of the Holy Ghost, let it fall on me and change me into someone just like you. Just like you. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let your oil pour down like water. Let it rain over me. Let it rain on this dry and thirsty servant. Let it rain, Lord, let it rain. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in me. Let your presence consume my soul. Let the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, let it fall on me and change me into someone just like you. Lord, I want to have your eyes. Lord, I want to realize what it's like to love unconditionally, like you love me, like you love me. Give me your eyes. Give me your heart. Give me your words, Lord.
Haven't brought your card or your offering to the Lord today, there's a basket in the back, baskets up here. You can come and bring it now. As unto the Lord.
Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in me. Let your presence consume my soul. Let the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, let it fall on me and change me into someone just like you. Just like you. Just like you. Just like you.
Look this way, if you will. Our church is very, very simple. We don't have 10,000 meetings going on, stretching you all these places. That is by design, so we can be salt and light. We don't have a softball team because we want you to join a softball team full of pagans and lead them to Jesus. We don't have all these other things. It's so you can be a part of all these things in the community and be salt and light where you are. I want to send you out in the name of the Lord and in the power of His Spirit, in the blessing of the Father today as you go. Go in His grace with great, great joy. And one other thing before you go. Anything else, Dane? You got something you want to say? Do you have a blessing you want to give to Kathy before we...
I gave her myself.
Our own Duck Dynasty over here. God bless their hearts. I did want to say one other thing before we left. How many Seahawk fans have we got here? Oh, don't put your hand up. All right. God bless you. Go in His grace. We love you.